5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. Common sense, conservative values, not negotiable. It is what we do. I know all of you are just so excited to see, listen to be a part of a momentous event in our history starting in just a few hours, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is the State of the Union, and that's the only time I've thought about it in the last, so what, month? We're going to be talking about what's coming up today. We're going to be talking about this minibus vote that the House Republicans thought was a really swell deal, even though it's packed full of pork. We are going to identify all the various true threats to democracy. So if you're ready to be educated, entertained, all of it, you've come to the right place. Pull up a chair. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Now, I'm just going to say this about the State of the Union. I have no interest in it because, quite frankly, it's going to be garbage. It's going to be lies. And we know that there's going to be garbage lies because that is what we've been served for the last 3 years. I'm not hopeful that things are going to change. Is this going to be the unraveling, the official unraveling of Joe Biden? Is he going to be able to manage 2 hours, an hour and a half, whatever the heck it is, of being on his feet, having to interact? Is he going to look like a robot, or is there enough drugs in the world? Are there enough drugs to pump in this guy so that he can at least be preserved for live television? Well, time will tell. But as I was sitting this morning in the dark, looking over all of the various things going on in the world, all the pants on fire headlines from the news, the media operatives who suck, who you know suck, and everybody else does, it really started to hit me, this whole idea of threats to democracy. You're going to hear more and more the closer we get to November. Threats to democracy. We need to preserve and protect our democracy. It's not really at all what's going on, because our democracy is already threatened and now it's teetering in the balance. You know, when you're not allowed to say things that you want to say or ask questions, that's not a democracy, not even close. And I started thinking about the psychosis behind so much of what's going on the left. And I don't make light of this when I say I do believe there are some diagnosable psychological disorders going on. Because it's very identifiable. Rabid leftists, not only are they deranged when it has to do with Donald Trump, they have a very specific MO. They have this kind of like white savior complex. And I want to explain what that means. It's the white savior complex that got all these liberals years ago into issues regarding race. It was incumbent upon white saviors to come in on the horse and to save the day, to make things equitable, to make things diverse, to make things fair, to make things right. All they've done is made everything a nightmare. And now we're supposed to not see each other through the prism of race. And yet that's all the decisions that they make. Every box that is checked Every student who's being admitted right now to a college or a university in this country, as my third oldest son is waiting for his letters to come in, every single decision that's being made is predicated on the very box-checking formula that these people with this savior complex exercise. And I think the psychological portion of it is that they feel as though they have been called to do something magnanimous, that there is a wrong out there that they have to right. And the reality is these people are insecure narcissists who need some place to belong. It's not enough that they would have a husband or a wife or a partner or a family or a job that they're passionate about or a skill or a hobby. They need something that puts them in a position to, quote unquote, help other people. See, this whole idea, though, of the savior is antithetical to what we believe as common sense conservatives. And that is, leave me the hell alone. When I say it's basic, it's not complicated. That's what it is. Just let me be me. Amos Miller says, just let me grow my food. Let me make my raw milk and other things. Let me do what I do. Truckers out there say, leave me alone. Stop fiddling with my fuel. Stop fiddling with all the regulations. Just let me drive. Let me get stuff from A to B. Let me do what I do. Doctors say the same thing. Stop meddling in medicine. Stop with the paperwork. Stop with the rules and the regulations and the endless litigation. Let me be a doctor to people who need my help. See, that's antithetical to all this overregulation, all of this interference. And so everything gets gummed up. Nothing works smoothly. There's endless pages of useless chatter when you and I see it quite clearly. Get the hell out of my life. Period. So we're at this weird place now where, and we've lived through a lot of these quote unquote threats to democracy, these reasons why these saviors have to ride in and save the day. These are the people who are staunch with the masks and the gloves and the social distancing and the temperature scanner, right? And the sanitizer on a holster. And don't you come too close to me. And they would sneer at you if you weren't outwardly obeying the edicts of madness. This is how they fall into that trap. They get so deeply ensconced in some reason to come together because their life is woefully lacking. And I think it's lacking that connection. It's lacking that basic human bond. And I believe that this is why we have so many meddlesome leftists out there doing their darndest to make things so difficult. Right? And think about the things that we've been through. I mean, just go back a couple years. COVID, everything about that was an all or nothing. You must do this. And if you don't, then we're going to call you a vaccine denier or a skeptic, or we're going to take you off of social media because you dared to ask a question. It's pathological and predictable. And then you can open the door into everything involving LGBTQ stuff. What rights does somebody who is gay or bisexual or any of the other alphabet, you know, letters, what is it that they cannot do that those of us who are not gay or a member of that community can, right? Really, there's nothing. Sky's the limit. And the pendulum has swung so far that we have to kowtow to every LGBTQ agenda item, no matter how absolutely preposterous. You've seen this. We see it every single day. It's ludicrous. And now we have it with Palestine, right? At what point in a rational person's mind is an October 7th surprise, which wasn't a surprise to a lot of people who went along for it, right? What part of invading villages and neighborhoods and setting things on fire and raping women and beheading babies and indiscriminate murder, how do you get behind that? You have a pathological, psychological savior complex, and We're done. I don't want to see one more protest. I'm not interested in one more stupid sign. I don't care about your slogans. I don't want to see you blocking intersections. Get out. Done. And all these saviors, you're going to hear them on the news today. You hear them every day. Threats to this, threats to that. It's all Donald Trump or it's right-wing conservatives. Honestly, what do we want? Very basic, common sense things. Let us live our lives. Let us love our God. Let us carry our guns. Let us protect our family. Let us work hard without your interruption or interference. Let us deal with a small government, not one that steals from us every single week. It's basic. Leave us alone. So today you're going to see this whole narrative unfold. And you're going to hear these calls on the left to do something to protect you from some boogeyman. Booga, 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 right? Oh, no. But by the time we're done with this, you're going to be able to diagnose on a dime the talking points, the methods, all of it, so that you hear it like that and know how to respond. We got that. We got a great show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Lots of sound. I have not had a whole lot of Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, on the program. We do have sound from him, and we've got a great, great, great crystal ball looker in or tour. His name is Rich Barris, and he's a wonderful pollster. We're going to have him on coming up in the program as well. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started on the Wendy Bell Radio program. I don't know what you inject into a human being to make them appear lively, to make them seem coherent, to make them focus. I don't know. I hope whatever they have for Joe Biden, they've been cooking up somewhere. Maybe in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the bat lady there is working on some U.S. taxpayer dollar concoction to keep Joe Biden vertical for the State of the Union tonight. Honest to God, what's the guy going to say to us? I want to finish the job. Oh, gosh. Can you imagine if he's allowed to finish the job? Everybody will be walking around like drug addicted zombies, right? We'll be living in third world squalor, even in the red states, right? No, thank you. But I think it's very enjoyable to pay attention to what I believe if we're going to talk about the real threats to democracy. We've already been living through it. When your government can come after you, when they can utilize the branches of the federal government that you and I pay for, that, by the way, answer to us, to come after us and to strong arm us and to threaten us and to coerce us into some kind of behavior or bully us with threats. That's not living in a democracy, right? A democracy, at least in a constitutional republic way, in this constitutional republic, you can say what you want. You can act as you want. Yes, there are consequences, but if you don't break the law, you ought not be rounded up, hunted down, right? Indicted, arrested, charged, thrown away forever. We don't have a democracy. We're fighting for the shreds of what's left. And I want you to hear Joe Scarborough, MSNBC. Dude is off his freaking rocker. And he's desperate in this minute. It's about a minute long. And minute and 8 seconds. And he's got a panel who they're obviously talking about Joe Biden, the strong and vigorous leader. Don't let your ears and your eyes deceive you. This guy is a freaking workhorse. In fact, he has never been as crisp, as focused, as bright, as withered as he is right now. Now, not even the panelists, they don't even know what to say. The guys on panel are like, So if we're going to talk about real threats to democracy, I'm going to say it is your media. Threat number one, here's Joe Scarborough.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not. Biden used to be a hothead.
Oh, God.
Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth.
What?
This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically,
wow,
is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've
That's
known
not
him for
much.
Years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years.
Oh, okay.
If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it.
If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it. That's like before somebody hits you and they say, you know what, this hurts me, then it's going to hurt you. And you're like, yeah, I don't think so.
No, that's when someone says, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but.
Oh, yeah, but, bah, 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 here's the bomb I'm going to drop on you. This is the best version of Joe Biden. And we know. I know. My wife, Mika Brzezinski, the Brzezinskis, they've known him for 50 years. No wonder she's such a hot mess, right? This is the, and F you if you think otherwise. Well, you know what? He's allowed to say that because I say all the time, we're done. I say all of the time, I'm not going to, there is no negotiating with crazy. There is no compromise. There is no cooperation. There's no meeting in the middle. I ain't pulling my hand out of my pocket and reaching across the aisle to talk to these people. They are unsavable. But this rhetoric, this idea that you should just desperately spread the propaganda that you so want everybody to understand. This sounds like a man who is no dummy. Joe Scarborough is not a dummy. He's just a rabid leftist now. And he's become a miserable, angry, triggered, white savior complex dude. And it's really a shame. He's desperate because he realizes. You mean to tell me that we fiddle with elections, we prevent people from asking about it, we hunt down people who do, we destroy the evidence, point fingers when things heat up, basically drag the country into the ground, pile drive it into it, and then stand here on social issues that really don't make any difference and pretend that we are in the right? And all of a sudden now people aren't paying attention. What's happening? They're tuning out. They're not watching anymore. The advertising revenue is drying up. All these big name anchors, at least on CNN, they're worried come November, what's going to happen to Anderson Cooper's $20 million salary? Is it worth it when nobody cares anymore? You've lied too many times. You've lied. You've gone along with the narrative. You told us that the laptop was fake. And you pushed the 51 former law enforcement folks who said that it was Russian disinformation. You've gone after people and called them, you know, liars and bigots and racists and homophobes and nationalists and extremists and insurrectionists. And now you realize that enough people are done. Look, if I want to be called names, I just have to go home. I don't need it from the media. This is the threat to democracy. A media that is in bed with a ruling elite uniparty whose sole mission is to destroy America and fundamentally install all over the world a new liberal world order. And we say, screw you! Not a chance. Not gonna do it. Coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends. Let's talk about this. A government that overspends all the time. Do you guys think that's a threat to democracy? Because I'm going to go with a big fat yes. And I've got the proof next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So if we're going to stay with the theme, threats to democracy, all of the pants on fire threats the media wants to tell you about, that Joe Biden and Corinne Jean-Pierre and everybody on the left wants to run around and point fingers. Oh, that insurrection, that was the biggest threat to our democracy. It wasn't that they manufactured a virus and then released it on the world. and then created some gene scrambler elixir that ended up killing people and maiming them. You know, that's not the threat. People going to the Capitol to peacefully assemble, to tell their government, we don't trust you. We demand that you listen to us because this is the way it works in our country. Had the door shut on them before it was opened, of course, and they were lured inside. Now, if you want to tell me that January 6th is the biggest threat to democracy, I'm going to tell you you're a moron. These people are morons, but there is a plan, of course, and it all goes back to their savior complex. See, when you're busy, when you're doing what you do, when you're happy, and happiness is relative, we're not always happy, but when you like who you are and you like your circumstance and you're dreaming and you have goals and you watch your children, and while it's not a walk in the park, it takes a lot, you're rewarded. You have meaning. Your heart feels complete. You can smile and go to bed, and you can feel joy, and you can give into it. You don't need all these ancillary storylines. You have everything, and they hate you for that. There is not enough money. There is not enough power, not enough gold bars, diamonds, stacks of cash or cars. There are no wire transfers or shady business deals that can replace peace. When you are at peace, it's a powerful thing. So I'm going to say to you in this segment, in addition to the media, another giant threat to our democracy is our government. It is a government that does not understand what we are saying. It is a government that is woefully out of touch with fiscal responsibility. And I'm not going to take any kind of umbrage with Democrats on this. I know who they are. I expect Democrats to suck. It's what they do, right? It is what they do. But it's the Republicans who have gone along with it. These are the people who need to be carved out and replaced. And that is why votes, making people vote, making them show up, registering, they prove to us if our electing of them was a con, or if, in fact, they do represent the values that they campaigned on. We have a hell of a lot who don't. So there's this minibus, right? Look, the day the budget is due is like Christmas. It's not a, hey, Earl, get in here. Earl, tell me, this year, what day is the budget due? What day does Santa Claus come? Right? What day is that? It's known. They know. And they push it off and they push it off and they push it off and they push it off. And then all of a sudden they're this, oh my gosh, we've got to do something. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Let's stuff a bunch of jazz into a policy that probably sucks to begin with. Make it bigger, bigger, bigger. And then we won't talk about it. And we'll push it through at the 11th hour. And then we won't allow anybody to read it because we've got to hurry up. And if we don't, the government's going to shut down. Oh my goodness. Whatever are we going to do without the National Park Service for a few days? You guys going to die if your mail doesn't come to your door? I could go a few weeks without my bills, right? So that's the setup. So the House on Wednesday passed this $460 billion minibus, right? You got the Omni, the monster bus, and then you got the little short bus. Beep, beep. This is the minibus, all right? It's still $460 billion. And I got to say, a lot of it sucks. And Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, who might not be the greatest orator in the world, did a really nice job when this passed bill bounced over to the Senate. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We need time to look at this. And here's why. I've got some sound bites. what's inside this $460 billion package? You guys ready? Here's audio soundbite number one, Senator from Utah, Mike Lee.
We've got about 650 pages tacked onto this bill of just straight earmarks. Of those 650 or so pages, you've got over 6,000 separate earmarks. And there's a wide range of them.
Wide range of earmarks, 6,000 goodies that the constituents or that these elected representatives, they squeeze in, they slip in on page, 1,008 so that they can go back to their districts when they're ready to to run again for re-election and say, hey, look what I brought you. But the big question is, why is the federal government, a.k.a. why are you and I paying for this glad-handery? Well, we ought not. Funny how that's the overarching takeaway here. And this is what Senator Lee says. Where's the discussion? Where's the back and forth? We need to negotiate. You don't just throw this on us. But of course, this is standard operating. Audio soundbite two.
The purpose here is not to adjudicate each and every project on its own merits as to whether it should be funded by someone. The question is whether it should be funded by government, and in particular, this government. And if it should be funded by this government, why not subject it to negotiation, discussion, an amendment process, debate under the light of day in which this can occur, rather than opening this up, foisting it upon the American people at the 11th hour, just a matter of days before it's to be voted on. And then we're told, oh, by the way, you can't really change this. You can't really change it unless it's something we want to change. We, meaning the self-appointed custodians of the bill, and the highest ranking appropriators in the Senate.
Threats to democracy, your federal government, these people who believe they really are that special. Sit down. You're not. So what's in it? What is he talking about? What about these earmarks? Is it a lot? Is it a little? Does it even matter? Go.
The bill involves a total of $470 billion. Of that, $12.7 billion involves earmarks. Now, a lot of people were fond of saying in this circumstance, well, it's just a small percentage. It's a tiny percentage of American GDP, still a small percentage of what we spend overall, and still a pretty small percentage even of just domestic, discretionary, non-defense spending. Whatever. Look, the fact remains, it may not be the entire length of the train, or even measurable as half or a quarter of or a third of the train, but it's what's driving the train. This is why we're $34 trillion dollars and counting in debt.
You know, have you guys ever lost a job? I've lost multiple. When you go from a two-income family to a one, things change. What do? You cut the extras. Who really needs cable? Who really needs this and that? We're cutting all of it. It is what responsible fiscal leadership is all about. So the argument, it's only 12% of what's in it. I mean, but if you carve out that 12%, that's not added to the deficit. That's not how these people think, of course. And this is the reality. And now Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, is going to call them artificial sweeteners. This is the pork that every single person has their fingerprints on in Congress. Go.
Why, for example, is it that we're being asked to provide some, $850 million to Georgetown University? No, that one's not $850 million. That one is $963,000. $963,000, nearly $1 million, to Georgetown University. Now, Georgetown University has an endowment. Just in its endowment alone is over $3.2 billion. Why are we giving that to Georgetown? Why? Why likewise are we giving $850,000 to a left-wing entity called the New Immigrant Community Empowerment Center, that's going to use that to build, and I believe the correct terminology is a coffee house, a coffee shop, and a greenhouse. That may be great. I don't know why that greenhouse and that coffee shop are being constructed by government, being constructed by this government with this government's funding.
This is the way it's always been. This is how you get $34 trillion in debt. Congress doesn't stop. They don't change. They don't listen. Read my lips. Knock it off. We are done. Mike Lee says, there are a few of us who actually wanted to talk about this. Like, look, that's a hell of a lot of dough, yo. And I'm thinking that we should probably discuss this. Go.
To spend $2.5 million for outdoor recreation, specifically kayaking and slalom activities for the town of Franklin, New Hampshire. Those are fun things. They're great. People want to have the ability to do them. Why is the U.S. taxpayer being forced to work months out of every year just to pay his or her federal taxes, only to be told it's not nearly enough because we're $34.5 trillion in debt? And by the way, we're going to have to make you throw in $2.5 million for these recreational activities, kayaking and slalom activities in Franklin, New Hampshire. I do not know, but these things, we're told, can't be debated.
Can't talk about it. Sorry, not enough time. Screw you. Why are we paying taxes? Honest to God, what am I paying for? What am I paying for? So everybody else can get rich and I can pay the tab? I mean, honest to God, is that where we are? Yeah. Yes. Your government is a threat to your democracy. Your government tramples the hell all over it. And then this is intriguing. He talks about the Philadelphia $1 million stuffed into this minibus package that was supposed to go to some bondage, sex fetish, whatever, for LGBT kids, whatever that gross thing it was in Philadelphia, until libs of TikTok blew the lid on that and they pulled that funding from the bill. So I guess it is negotiable. Listen to Senator Lee.
We tried to have them removed. I tried to strike them, and I was told by the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, sorry, no can do. This is a hermetically sealed chamber. It's been a finely wrought compromise, and there is no changing it now. Only there's a problem. They have been making changes. They made a change last night. They made a change after it was discovered that they had set aside $1 million for what's been characterized as funding for BDSM sex parties. And they were embarrassed to defend that, so Senator Murray went to the floor and had that removed. So apparently it can be opened up. It's just, it can be opened up and changed only for things that she cares about. This is a mess. And no sane person would say that the governing body of any organization, whether it's a corporation and its board of directors, a state legislature, or the legislative branch of the United States government, should operate like this, where the single most important type of decision it makes, a funding decision to keep the entity funded, in this case in about half of the budget categories, should be made by a small handful of people who negotiate behind closed doors, expecting the Senate and the House as a whole to just rubber stamp what they've done and to tell them, little peasants, go away. We, the people who negotiated this, are the only ones who can touch it.
There you go. That is your big news of the day. That is the headline of the day. That is the story that your disgraced propagandist media will not share with you. So there you go. Media and big government, threats to democracy. You guys like it? Because we're just getting started. Hang tight. The Wendy Bell Radio program continues right after this. So we're gonna lay out the case for you today that all of these pants on fire, pointing fingers, oh my goodness, threats to democracy are a lot of fluff. There is a lot of smoke screening, a lot of deflection going on, because if you can point fingers at somebody else and try to paint them in a bad light, which has been their obsession with Donald Trump for the last 7 years, then for at least a period of time, you can continue doing the yucky things that you do in the darkness, and you can avoid detection. So something happens when not just a handful of people awaken, not just a handful of people snap out of that hypnosis, but large groups of people. And this is what you're seeing. You're seeing, and you're going to hear audio sound bites coming up in hour number two, where the media is saying Joe Biden is losing chunks of core voting groups. Oh my gosh, why ever would that be? But that brings us to a very important part of this democratic process. In order for us to make the best decisions, we need to be able to hear our candidates duke it out. Let's hear your answers to questions that we have. And we could debate all day the members of the media or whomever who are going to be acting as the moderators. But it is that face-to-face. that is part of the process. And so here it is. Donald Trump wastes no time after slaughtering Nikki Haley in Super Tuesday primaries all over the place. Donald Trump has now challenged Joe Biden to a debate. Here's the story, townhall.com. After becoming the de facto 2024 Republican nominee, former President Trump calling on Biden to debate, quote, anytime, anywhere, any place. And we all know that he cannot. Joe Biden, that is. He cannot. There is no way. He cannot manage a press conference without note cards. He cannot manage a public event, photo op, as weak as it might be, without a blue check mark or an X mark on the ground, or with Jill there to help guide him. This is not a man who can manage presidential debates. As much as what's-his-face Joe Scarborough wants to tell you that this is the best Joe Biden he's ever seen, Joe, your lies are so unsavory. And you're just an idiot. Now we just look at you with pity, right? So here's this question inside the press room yesterday. Peter Ducey, Fox News. So Karine Jean-Pierre, tell me. You know, debates are historic. It's what we do. It's how everybody saw John F. Kennedy in a better light. How we saw an unshaven, nervous, and sweaty Nixon, right? It's what did George Bush in. When he was running for re-election, it absolutely iced him. And I think it's what really delineated Donald Trump from everybody else. This is the question, Karine Jean-Pierre, if you're going to represent a quote-unquote transparent administration, you should have this date on the docket already. Listen to the give and the go.
Now that the field is down to two, is President Biden going to commit to a debate with Donald Trump?
That's something for the campaign to speak to.
Well, we know when the debates are going to be. We know where they're going to be. Is he going to go?
You should speak to the campaign.
In 2020, once it got down to one-on-one, Joe Biden said, I can hardly wait to debate him. How about now?
I'm going to sound like a broken record. You should reach out to the campaign.
Why is this a campaign thing?
Because it's an election. It's a debate for the 2024 presidential election.
I'm not asking what argument he is going to make. No. At a debate. I'm just at.
We're not talking about arguments. You're talking about his attendance. You need to talk to the campaign.
Look, we're talking about the presidency of the freaking United States, Karine. You blithering klutz. Now, I know her job is to sit there and spin, but that's woeful and highly, highly unacceptable. And Ducey's not done. Listen.
Just for clarity, it's possible that there will be no Joe Biden, Donald Trump debates.
Is that what you're excited about? Is that what you
want to
see?
Because you keep asking me. You've asked me
about three, four, or five different times in different ways, and I have. And I've said.
How would President Biden do in a debate? I'm not asking a question about a specific debate. I'm just asking how would he do in a debate.
I
know it's been 4 years since
he saw. You literally saw just last year.
Oh, here we go.
January 2023 at the last State of the Union, take on Republicans during giving a major speech.
What?
He took them on as they were heckling him. He took them on and said he was going to fight for programs. Essentially said he was fighting for programs that the American people needed. Social Security, Medicare, mm-hmm. Medicaid.
BDSM.
He stood there and fought for the American people. I mean, that was pretty impressive. Some of you all reported on that. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Go ahead.
I want whatever Kool-Aid that she's not just drinking, but now she's in the back mixing up by the gallon. What the hell, sister, are you talking about? Because your entire campaign in 2020 was to be kinder and gentler and more normal and more sane, and to be the most transparent administration in history. Vote us in. We'll correct this madness. We need calm and transparency. Well, then just say we are going to have a debate because we know that there won't be, because your dude is cooked and the world knows it. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends, on tap next. And we're going to take you over to MSNBC. To further underscore the media being, I'm going to say it, the biggest threat to everything you and I love in this country. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program.